December 16th, 2011.
I think these people that are on this street.
Yeah, Tumblr's definitely had their uptime issues. You know, they have a very loyal community, use them. Well, you're listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast, number 19, with me, Daniel J. McKeown.
And me, Jessica McKeown.
So, I think that, well, we have a few other things going on. I think the main focus of this podcast was going to be a review of the iOS app Grand Theft Auto 3 10th Anniversary Edition. Now, I do want to note to my oppressed Android brothers and sisters that you can have your Grand Theft Auto 3. I don't know what the controls are like. I saw a review of one that said there were bugs and crashes, but I'm sure that happens in any game. And someone set on with an Xperia Play, which is the PlayStation endorsed phone, actually was saying, "Well, it isn't the original GTA 3 controls I remember, you know, to match up with their phone, but it's still pretty good." Or they said something like that to that effect on their Android, you know, app site in a review. But I think that actually kind of rounds out to a tangent that brings us back numerous episodes. But do you remember a while ago we talked about the PSP phone and the PSP 2 as they were rumored?
Yes, I do.
And now the PSP phone, or at least the closest thing there too, has already come out. That's the Sony Ericsson Xperia Play. And it's an Android phone. And I'm not sure if what exactly the user experience is like. But, it, you know, it certainly has some users. And I think, you know, It's available in the U.S., I think, through Verizon and other carriers. And it does, it pops up. It's an Android phone, but it pops up with a PlayStation-style controller pad at the bottom. But I think there's two pads on the right and left, in addition to the up, down, left, right, and triangle, square, circle, X buttons that are like analog pads that you can use to, you know, play, you know, games. I mean, it does look kind of cool, but it is, you know, just a phone that you need to find games that are optimized for that interface. And, you know, given, you know, the fact that they all, that Sony also has the PSP 2, or what they're calling now PSP Vita or whatever, that's coming out, you think they're going to probably focus more on that than Android apps that are specialized to work with that thing. But that's the other thing, is that, like, so I think basically the predictions at the time that I was, like, reading about in the rumors, totally wrong. And, you know, it turns out, well, I mean, there's that Xperia Play phone available now, but then there's also that PSP Vita that it hasn't come out yet, and has been announced for a long time, and has gotten, you know, a great deal of hype. But I gotta tell you, I think it's probably going to be underwhelming, at least in the U.S. market. Now, it is an evolution of the PSP. I mean, I like the PSP. I played mine, you know, on and off, but, you know, for numerous years, and I think it really has some good gameplay. It has some near PS2 style gameplay, you know, but they never had the right analog stick And you relied basically on PlayStation 1 style controls. And that was sort of an issue. Now they have left and right analog sticks on the PS Vitas, and the successor, and they have a touchscreen as well. So it is really trying to jump into the next generation. And there are cool things about playing those games, but I do think that having a cool phone and putting, you know, really cool games on that is probably the mobile gaming, you know, core strategy for the future. But that's just my call. What do you think?
I think a lot of people like having the buttons and the controllers.
They are. That is cool.
You know, and I think depending on the game, some of those work better for games than others. Have you? So we've played GTA 3 and we've done some driving games, and have you played like some sports games?
You know what I like? I do think that the sports games are pretty good, especially for a mobile experience on that. I like playing FIFA on that. Like the version I have for the PSP is probably like FIFA 06 or something, but it's that's pretty cool. And then the Madden that I have like a Madden 07 or something. And that's pretty good, too. I mean, that's a good version of Madden mobile, you know. And I do think that's cool. But I think where it really excels is the racing games. Need for Speed Carbon on the PSP is definitely the best mobile driving game I've played yet. And that includes having a couple of Need for Speed and other racing games on my iPhone, which are cool and which I enjoy, but I think that, yeah, that thing is a great experience for racing. And actually, Star Wars Battlefield is the original one that I had that on there, and that one is cool. But you definitely can find some limitations when you're playing a game like Grand Theft Auto on there. But I think that the real issue with the PSP is that they haven't really supported it well with games since about 2007. I mean, they really haven't delivered on a lot of titles for the PSP in the last handful of years. And if you go to a Best Buy, I mean, the PS Vita, the successor, isn't out until February 2012 in the US. And so if you go and look at the games for PlayStation Portable, they're still going to have the original PSP games, probably. And just look at the selection. I mean, there aren't a lot of exciting new titles, and the system was pretty impressive, and a lot of the early games were good. And I don't think it didn't really get the backing from Sony. It probably should have. It should have had more first title games. It should have encouraged more developers to come out with mobile games. I mean, it is really cool that they have a Vice City, a version of Vice City for PSP, and they have a version of GTA 3, it's Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories, and it came out in like 2005, but it's basically the GTA 3 map, but it has a few enhancements, like you can ride a motorcycle and use a bat to damage vehicles. But I think, I don't think San Andreas ever came out for it. I don't think any successor ever came out for it, and it was like, you know, so that's one reason to be skeptical, I think, about the PS Vita. But it is true that, when I was playing GTA Liberty City Stories tonight, I did like having those separate controls on the side, like you're saying. And when you're playing the game on an iPhone, that does create some space limitations when you have the controls on the screen. But I gotta say, with that reservation, the graphics are amazing, and the retro feel of it, the fact that it's the iOS version is just basically the GTA 3 game from the PlayStation 2, just ported to the iOS platform with a few touchscreen controls. I think it's really cool. And I think they do a great job for the circumstances. And the game is really fun. Now, there's definitely a certain element of like old school PlayStation fun that you can get from playing on the PSP with Liberty City Stories. But I really have enjoyed playing the iOS version of GTA 3, and I think that, you know, it's $5, so I definitely think that's a really cool game for the platform. So you spent some time playing it tonight. What did you think?
Well, I thought that the controls were actually really nice because I don't like the buttons because that gets me, finger fatigue pretty fast. So I thought it was kind of nice that you just had to tap. I found the walking, running directional kind of odd. I was turned around a lot on that, but otherwise, and I found it a little slow to kind of swipe the radio stations, like, you know, some awkward movements, like you'd have to kind of like stop halfway in between what you were doing and change the radio or do some certain things. So, I mean, but in the sense that, you know, the phone was already built and they put this on it and they put these touch screen controls in, I think it's pretty cool. And I think, you know, I'd love to see other versions of it. And to your point, video games going this way, this kind of touch screen controller maybe would be really kind of neat. I thought the graphics were amazing.
Aren't they incredible? Just and that's beautiful. when you see the PSP, even though it has that nice, for its time, wide screen that really is pretty good, it's just the level of graphic detail on the iPhone screen is definitely, it's just going to blow it away, and it does, because it takes advantage of the quality of the iPhone screen. The iOS version just has, it has excellent graphics, and there's definitely something classic about the boxy kind of look of some of the vehicles and the square grids. And, you know, I actually think that thinking about that game really brought out, like, I was thinking very philosophically about it. I'm just going to read what I wrote. Is that okay? So do it. I can try to enunciate it. My like written review. Because I might as well put it on the podcast, you know, because I write right on the show notes. From the intro credits music to the crazy radio stations like John Head Radio to the eccentric and gently rising street grid, which is utterly mapped to the inner synapses of the greatest minds of my generation. It's the game that ranks as very possibly the greatest video game of all time, starting in 2001 as a PlayStation 2 game and moving eventually to Xbox and PC before living middle age as, quote, Liberty City Stories, unquote, on early attempts to take such scale of games to mobile as on the PSP before now finally living a grand old age as the one that came first before the Wild Vice City, brilliant San Andreas, and the imperfect but impeccably tuned GTA 5 before the transcendently good Red Dead Redemption, and laid out an amazing large amount of the formula fully formed onto the public. We're talking about the dead tan timbre of the satire of the game, the utter corruption of power, the undeniability of the wary protagonist, the complexity of the game's universe, and the weapons, the many weapons. Limitations present in GTA 3 and subsequently fixed in Liberty City Stories are present again. But it's still incredible to see such an advanced game from 10 years ago, compacted down but hardly playable on iPhone 4S. It doesn't hurt that I have pleasant associations with the game, but I get through the fog. Get through the fog of memory and try it yourself. You'll probably be surprised at how good the game is even today.
Yeah, it holds up 10 years later for sure. And it's a good trip down memory lane, but you get to take it on your portable iPhone device. So it's a lot of fun and definitely worth $5. It looks like it's got a pretty big open map, you know, lots of areas to explore. We went into one mission and the voiceovers were great. I mean, just classic Rockstar, you know, high quality finishing touches. So, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I noticed that I could ride the train right away in the game to the other big part of the city. So it's a relatively open map at the beginning, so they let you just get out there and enjoy it. And we were both wondering about weapons cheats and stuff like that, because sometimes it's fun to just get loaded with weapons and attack that game. And actually, I didn't see any when I looked it up, but that was, you know, a few hours ago. The game's barely been out a day, so I don't know. I think they're probably easy to find online at some point if they did build cheats into the game. Otherwise, definitely when you were playing, you saw a lot of people attacking each other, right? You just got to grab the guns off of people when you can. Attack people and take the guns from.
Yep, I picked up a hooker.
Yeah, yeah.
First 20 seconds into the game.
You really got a feel for the game.
And then I was like, what do I do? And Dan said, well, go and drive somewhere private.
Well, you know, you already had the hooker in your car before you asked me what to do, so I just kind of went with it.
So, I don't know. I don't think I got anything from the hooker. But I did do my cop chase to see how that would handle, and it got pretty intense, but I was able to outrun them. I didn't bring in the big dogs. I don't know how many stars I get up to, but it was fun. I always like to try to outrun the cops, but I got caught.
Well, yeah, you're good. You have a good sense of there's a certain way the game is tuned that makes GTA 3 very fun with chases. The cops in Vice City are brutal, and there's those long, narrow islands, or, you know, so you gotta like really be careful about the angles and the numbers they have on you. Whereas like in GTA 3, there's a lot of fun ways to keep them at bay for a little while, and you like the all out speed and getaway kind of style, which is definitely fun to watch. So yeah, I mean,
oh yeah, and I found a secret package.
You already found a secret package in that game.
Looked like a big bundle of cocaine, but I don't know what's in it or what do I get when I get all 25 of them.
You know, you don't know what you're gonna find in a package in Liberty City. I think like that's definitely a cool game to pick up. Yeah, it's like $5 now, so it's all right. You know, I guess I don't know when someone might be listening to the podcast. You know how much the price might be at that time, but yeah, it's definitely a game worth looking at. And hopefully, you know, I don't know. Maybe people buy this game and then they'll be encouraged to port at least Vice City to this to the iOS platform. And I would think San Andreas would be really cool. I mean, there's definitely some, you know, if I go on a PlayStation 2 games I want to see on iOS tangent, the one other one I have is I bought Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, and I like that game, but I love Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4. The sea lions, you know, the Fisherman's Wharf. Like a whole like skatable, playable Fisherman's Wharf, you know, and then a lot of the cool levels. That's just such a great game. Like, and it, yeah, I mean, I actually played it on my PS2 when I was living in San Francisco with you. So it's just a great game, and it was kind of fun to actually be living there and ride my skateboard in San Francisco in real life too at the same time. I think that game would just be so much fun because 3 is really like you're skating around some shreddy skate park, but like 4 is the levels, the games, you know, a lot of fun. San Francisco stuff.
Yeah. If I were to put my marketing hat on, I would think this is their pre-awareness campaign for the launch of GTA 5.
Oh, you're talking about Rockstar Games?
Yeah.
And the launch of GTA 3, 10th anniversary edition, mm-hmm. that we're talking about? I think that sounds like, that sounds on point.
Top of mind, you know, the people that played it are 10 years older now, you know, so they want to maybe relive and get excited about that cool series again, and they remember how fun GTA 3 was, and it was. I mean, it was ahead of its time, and a lot of people have said that, you know, and it is kind of cool to see what they're going to come out with next. I don't know when it's coming out. Like, I feel like May of next year, but do you know the date?
I guess I did see that preview for GTA 5, but I haven't seen the date. But yeah, it's on its way.
Occupy your mind. Find your the revolution.
I guess it's sort of been toward the recording of our second album, Neener 2, but we've used them in a few videos, and I've talked about the videos, but I kind of was, you know, I just wanted to mention you on that, like, the, you know, there's that one, I really like your vocal on, you know, the Here Comes the Revolution, and you're singing, it's just, you know... I really like that song, Occupy Your Mind, or, you know, whatever, like, I guess that's the working title, whatever, you know, the title comes out as, that's a cool song, and that, you know, that appears in the Gordon Square video, toward the beginning. It's sort of like an intro, and then the Don't Snitch part comes in, but that's a different song.
Yeah, it was definitely inspired by the Occupy Wall Street movement, and... You know, it was starting to sort of lose some power and steam, and so I wanted to sing about it because it was inspiring, and I didn't want people to give up, and I wanted them to fight for what they believe in. And you had some really cool rockin' guitar riffs, so I just sang to them.
Cool. Well, I enjoy listening to that, and I look forward to us, you know, maybe recording a few more songs and mixing those down. But I also really want to do your solo album, and so we have to, you know, emphasize your voice and your talents. So, you know, on the music subject, we've experimented a little bit with Google Music. So what do you think of that service?
I like that the icons are headphones. It's one of the cooler logos.
Yeah.
That Google has put out.
Well, yeah, for them especially, it's super cool.
So that's good. So far I think it's pretty cool. You can play your songs anywhere. You play them on the computer and you play them on the iPhone. It's not device based, so that's nice that you can have your music anywhere. So I like that. You know, I think it's good, and it's got a playlist maker. Is that what it's called? Like a smart playlist?
Yeah. So you pick a certain song, and then it builds a playlist off of that. I guess like Apple's Genius feature. And yeah, so it's like a music locker service, so you can upload your collection up to 20,000 songs, and there's certain limitations of what type of file and, you know, how big and stuff, but it, you know, it's pretty good. You can upload a whole array of files, and then you can play them. You can play your music through the web, you know, on a computer or on a device. Like you can log in on an iPhone and do it and play through the web pretty well. There's a website. There's some limitations. The interface could use some work, but it is a really cool service. It's free, and you just, you know, have a Google account. You can upload your collection and then you know, just stream it, you know. So it's definitely a cool thing to have. Now, Apple has iTunes Match, and Amazon has Cloud Drive service, or, you know, something like that. Like, and so there's alternatives out there, but I think Google Music is definitely a cool thing to try, from my perspective. But, you know, I do want to talk to some people who are using iTunes Match and see if that, you know, if that's better. That's $25 a year, you know. Don't know if that's, you know, worth it, especially if you have a lot of iDevices.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an article to be written, you know, talking about the music revolution for iPhone and online. You know, there's Spotify, and there's RDO, and there's Google Music, and there's a lot of really cool ideas coming in. There's the turntable, right? That's different. And then there, I mean, and even back in the day with like Last.fm, you know, and Pandora, like it's a really interesting space. And, the, you know, I don't think Google is like all that innovative, you know, like now we're sort of in that fine tuning stage of we want to be able to access our music anywhere, anytime, from any place, with a device, without a device, you know, and we're always connected, you know, wherever we can find the website kind of thing. So it's just interesting to see how the trends kind of move around, and, you know, you're starting to see a lot of that old way of thinking just fall. I mean, more and more artists are going out on their own and, you know, connecting directly with fans and giving them the content with no middle person in between.